Good morning, 7:38, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. Mike Wood is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. He joins us every Thursday. Mike, welcome back, sir. Good to have you.
Good morning.
Good morning. All right, so yesterday, as I know you were aware, we had some unclarity over the question of street closures relating to the Pensacola Mardi Gras parade, both the Friday and the Saturday parade. And we now have a, I think, much more clear map. I'm going to let you describe it in your words, and then I'll ask you questions, and we'll see where we get. But an hour, well, go ahead, 3 hours before the parade, 5:30 on Friday and 3 hours before the Saturday at 11 a.m., what happens?
Roads are going to be closed around the perimeter of the parade. You know, our number one priority at the Pensacola Police Department is public safety, and that is also the number one priority of Mayor Reeves. He campaigned on that. He has 100% come through with that. And his office and the staff of the police department got together after the incident in New Orleans and said, do we have room for improvement? How can we make downtown Pensacola safer for these events? They got together, and they've come up with some great ideas, and one of those is to back up the perimeter another block from where it normally was, which means street closures, in order to create a larger safe zone. So our safety zone. So that's what we're doing. We're also closing down Main Street for the first time this year. That is so that the floats can get off of the parade route quicker, because in the past they've had to commingle with traffic and that slowed everything down. So that's the biggest change, is the closure of Main Street this year.
And that was the one that, you know, as I talked about yesterday, I thought I understood one way, and then I looked at it some more, and I wasn't sure, but now the map is much more clear. And to put this, for people who don't know, obviously the intersection of Main and Palafox is terrible during parades. It's a good idea to close that intersection to traffic and a block east or west. That makes perfect sense to me. But what we're actually doing is closing Main Street all the way from Community Maritime Park, Roos Street, all the way over to basically 9th Avenue, even up to Romana. So you will not be able to drive anywhere along there an hour before the parade Friday night and Saturday. So far, do I have it correct?
Yes, you do. And that's because that's to prevent a bottleneck. If you want to go east and west, you need to use Cervantes. That mm-hmm. will be completely open. North and south, use A Street or 9th Avenue. You will have no problems there getting around the congestion downtown.
And if you look at, again, this map that you guys put out yesterday, which is so much more clear, I really appreciate that. The map is very, very lucid. The thing that I noticed, and I brought this up with Mayor Reeves yesterday kind of as I was thinking about what would happen, is everything south of Main, so I'm thinking like the port, I'm thinking like Fish House Atlas, I'm thinking the ferry landing, Plaza de Luna, Palafox South, the New World Landing, I forget what we call it now, but, you know, that whole area. There's massive parking in that area. And that is where I usually park. In fact, what I'll do, I'll just tell you, is I usually come down about 45 minutes before the parade. I park somewhere in that vicinity. I'm coming off Bayfront, 9th Avenue to Bayfront, off the expressway. And then I walk up to Spring Street where our parade takes off, and then walk back through the parade route down to my car, park, and leave. I won't be able to do that now because of the closure of that street. Plus, that whole area is going to be closed off until until the parade ends. It seems like a lot of people are going to be caught by surprise with this. And that whole area of parking is likely to be more vacant, meaning people will have to park somewhere else, which is congestion elsewhere. Help me work through the thinking on why not have just Cedar Street open so you can drive around Main and Palafox instead of closing off all of Main and Bayfront.
Well, we just talked about it. If you want to avoid that and still use those parking spaces that you've used in the past, you can do that. You just need to get there an hour early. Again, Main Street is going to be closed at the last moment that we can close it in order to free it up and get people where they need to go. So that's why it's being closed an hour instead of 3 hours early. So you just get there an hour earlier and park your car before that and come on up, and you'll be able to enjoy the parade.
Okay. And, of course, Andrew McKay's solution is going to be, well, I'm parking somewhere else. You know, I'll park probably up off of, the north side of Garden or somewhere up there instead, just because this logistically is going to be a challenge for parking. But you guys have looked at it, and again, that the bottleneck that it creates because you're shoving all the traffic to the south instead now is going to be shoved up to Cervantes. That's the idea of that closure, right?
Yeah, and also keep in mind that Main Street will also be the first street open back up after the parade. So the other streets that we keep closed, mainly the parade route, we have to keep closed in order for the blowers and street sweepers to come in and clean up. Main Street will not or should not have a lot of debris on it, so we're going to be able to open that one up as fast as possible. So if you go an hour and a half early and you're able to park south of Main Street where you normally do, you're also going to be able to get out quicker because Main Street will open up faster than the rest of the roadways around it.
Fair enough. We're going to try to get the word out about this as much as possible because, as you and I both know, not everybody, unfortunately, listens to news radio, and so not everybody's going to be aware, and I think there's going to be a lot of surprised people on Friday night and Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon. Other matters for security for the parade, we talked a little bit about this with Mayor Reeves yesterday, but I know you guys don't, and for good reasons, don't want to tell people any of the specifics that you're doing. You just want to let them work. But is there anything about security other than the expansion of the so-called no-go box around the parade and the towing of cars if they're on the parade route? Okay, that's a very important new feature that you cannot park on the parade route. Anything else about security that you want people to know?
Well, you're going to see more officers down there. You're going to see portable barricades and the parking on the parade route. There's signage is up now letting people know about that. That's something that we can't have on the route. So the cars will be towed. There's going to be a zero tolerance on that. But that's basically it as far as what you can see. There's also things that we're doing that we can't speak of. So, again, our main job is the protection of the public, and that's what we're going to do.
Can we say it this way? Suffice it to say there are measures in place to protect you that you won't know about and won't see but will benefit from. Fair?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Trust us, we are the professionals. We know what we're doing. You know, all this week I've really been, not because of anything that's been in the news exactly, but it turns out it becomes news, I guess. I've been talking with our sheriffs about the electric bike problem, which I have, it was because of this 29 crash, this Highway 29 crash, but I've just seen it a lot when I'm driving, that these electric bikes seem to be everywhere downtown. Of course, we have the scooters. Has PPD done any thinking about the faster electric bikes, what would be appropriate, thought about maybe city restrictions on them, requiring licensing? I don't know. Have you guys been working on this at all at PPD?
No, it hasn't been a huge issue for us. Most of them are doing what they're supposed to be doing as if it's a normal bicycle. But there are people that do the wrong thing, that are reckless, just like the, you know, when we started having the rentable scooters, so there was a little issues there, but that's sort of worked its way out or worked itself out. So not a big issue with us at this point.
Okay. Red light cameras. I know you guys have been, you know, that's been in place now for about what, 3 weeks. You've been actually issuing the tickets. Any updates in terms of numbers or how it's working or just any notes about the red light camera system that, you know, PPD is kind of the last human brain line of observation on issuing those tickets?
Number-wise, I don't have as far as citations that have been sent out.
Gotcha.
I can tell you that there was a problem in January, a huge problem in January, and hopefully as the word gets out, people will stop running red lights. It's a very dangerous thing to do, and like the mayor said before, we don't want to make a dime on this. That's not the intent at all. We just want to save lives. So the numbers will be coming out soon. I do know that there's been over 40 of these cases that were thrown out by officers that look at the video for one reason or another. They don't believe that this was this person should receive a citation. So, we'll get the numbers to you pretty soon.
Okay. I know anecdotally, like personally, I when I'm driving around and I'm coming to a red light anywhere close to the city, even though I know it's not a red light camera light, I'm thinking about it. I think it's become a top of mind thing that makes people think. Do you know or have you talked to any of the the street patrol to know whether they see changes or whether there have been fewer wrecks or anything like that? And again, I know it's early, but I'm just curious if there's been any just anecdotal kind of evidence about the success or not success of it.
No, it's kind of early on that.
Okay.
is something that that we want to review, especially annually this time next year, take a look at it and see if the crashes have gone down, increased or stayed about the same. And
for
hopefully
sure.
We're looking for that decrease.
No, I totally agree with that. We did have a kind of an odd incident at the Pensacola Holiday Inn. I guess as my understanding is you had an employee that was in the laundry room and there was a patron there who was aggressive and then she wound up shooting him kind of in self-defense. Do I kind of have this right?
Yeah, there was a history there between the two. They knew each other. He had been there basically stalking her over the phone, over social media, and came to her place of employment before, which was that hotel, and was told to leave, which he did. This time he returned and he saw her in the laundry room. He approached her in the laundry room and began punching her, got her on the ground, was punching her. So she obviously feared for her safety. She drew a weapon that she legally possessed, and she shot him in the leg in order for him to get off of her, and that worked pretty well. He left and took himself to the hospital.
Oh, that's way worse than I had heard. Okay, wow. Thank God she had a gun, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, she did what she was supposed to do there. So once he got to the hospital, he wasn't done yet. He decided he was going to kick one of our officers, so he was charged with that and also had narcotics on him. So there were several charges that he ended up being charged with.
Wow. Is the officer, like, wounded, off-duty, or okay?
No, the officer's fine.
Okay, good. I mean, you know, fights happen. That's part of the business. And as far as you know, the woman, is she doing okay?
Yes.
Well, good. Yes, I mean, thank goodness. I thought he was a patron. I didn't realize he was just a, you know, whatever, stalker and all of the rest of the stuff. So, wow. Oh, my God. Okay.
We've heard these stories before where it turns out much worse.
Yeah.
And she was in a position where she could defend herself, and that's exactly what she did.
Well, I mean, that's why we tell people, you know, get a gun, get a permit, although you don't have to have one these days, get training and be ready. I mean, you know, you never know when you're going to need one. It's always better to have it and not need it than to, you know, need it and not have it. We always like to end with a kind of a cop myth or a did you know. I am amazed at the number of things that TV and movies get wrong about every known profession under in the universe, but no more so than about law enforcement. So here's my question. When you get arrested in a movie or a TV show, the person who's getting arrested is always like, give me my phone call. I get one phone call. Like there's a constitutional, you know, the 29th Amendment or something that gives you a right to the single phone call. How does this actually work in real life?
They're going to allow you to call who you need to call, whether that be a bondsman or a family member, somebody to help assist you getting out. The jail does want people to be able to bond out to make more room. So that's not something that, you know, if you get one phone call and they're not home, that's it. You get no more phone calls. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I never thought about this before, but I just wonder, when you get arrested, are you allowed to retain your personal cell phone, and could you make a call with your cell phone, like from the car?
No, all that is taken and it's held until you're released.
Okay, it doesn't surprise me, but I just didn't know the answer, so that's why I asked. Because, you know, these days you don't have to wait for the payphone at the jail or whatever, you know. Or at least that was my question. So very good. All right, Mike Wood. He is a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Clearly, I haven't been arrested in a long time, ever. But so I don't know from experience, Mike. As always,
that's good.
Yeah, no, that's. I mean, I'm trying to keep that streak going. Mike, thank you so much for the good information. I tell your officers, I really appreciate what they're going to do for us during the parade, and we'll talk to you again next week.